The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Hey guys, sports betting season is in full force. NHL and NBA playoffs, we enjoyed those, and now football season is here. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. US, you can receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. BetUS is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. No matter what the season, BetUS has all the games, NBA, NHL, team, player props, loads of NFL and college plays, whether futures or individual game odds. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf, and round matchups and live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the Sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and partner with a sports betting company with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show kicking off right now. Appreciate everybody getting in for your college football conversations 2 hours a day. And again, we are live at Harris Cherokee in Cherokee, North Carolina, from the floor of the casino, the all-new book. We were here in back in March when they opened, actually, the Hoops Tournament. We were here back for the big game in February, all throughout the summer and baseball season. Now it's football season. That's what everybody wants, pro and collegiate sports wagering right here at the window, the kiosk. Everybody, again, Harris Cherokee today, Harris Valley River, and Murphy, North Carolina tomorrow. Our home away from home all football season. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Matt Jones, good friend of ours from Kentucky Sports Radio, talking about the Wildcats, a team that I'm very intrigued with this season, because there are folks that when we would have the, hey, what can UF do in the East, there are folks who would respond, why don't we talk about what Kentucky can do? I think it's a little out over their skis, but if they've got a quarterback flinging it around like Will Levis, and that's not just against Louisiana Monroe, it's against everybody else, then that is something to talk about. So, again, we have him coming on in about 10. Appreciate Matt. And then also bottom of the hour, Travis Ryer, Bama Online, et cetera, will talk Tide. But right now, I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline, Terry Brennan, former player and coach at Notre Dame, dies at 93. Terry Brennan was a running back, a halfback. That was, it was a different – go look at what a halfback used to be. There was a halfback on defense as well. And you think you got a quarterback, a halfback, a fullback, but then the names kind of got switched and whatever. But he was a halfback at Notre Dame on three undefeated teams and also played with two Heisman Trophy winners. And then after Frank Leahy, he was done at – Brennan got to be the coach at, I don't know, wasn't even 30 years old yet. And this was not back in, you know, way back in the day when Sean, like Sean McVay, he got to be head coach of the Rams when he was like 32 years old. I told you, Lincoln Riley, I met him at East Carolina when he was Ruffin McNeil's OC. He's 27. I'm like, who's this kid? Oh, now he's the head coach. Oh, he could be in the NFL if he wanted. Wasn't what it was. You got to be, if you had a coaches convention in like 1960, it was a coaches convention slash retirement home. That's kind of what it looked like. Terry Brent is 25, and he had some success as a coach, but he passed, and very, very sad. Headline, Texas NAACP files federal complaint over Eyes of Texas. Well, this dials it up a little bit. Federal complaint, Civil Rights Act, and a hostile campus environment in the rest of the language that you may be used to if you read these stories from time to time. That is the lawsuit, the Texas chapter of the NAACP, and also a group of students. Federal civil rights complaint against UT, so that's where the Eyes of Texas sits right. There are people who have this song played at their funerals. So it's as deep-seated and rooted in the state, certainly, as you're going to find, and those days are numbered. I've already told you that. Headline. Georgia quarterback Daniels, a question for week two. JT Daniels got an oblique issue. And an oblique is very hard to prove, disprove. You know what an oblique is? It's what a Major League Baseball team uses when they want to put somebody on the injured list. And the guy's not really injured. You can make up anything, but oblique. Yeah, he's got an oblique problem. So JT Daniels, though, he, by all accounts, got an oblique issue. UAB is in Saturday. I will say, if you go back in time, here's a little insight for anyone who's a Dogs fan or not, but you may have already happened upon this. But just talking with folks in general, conversations last, as late as last December, Carson Beck, bust. Done. Not a ball player, whether he wasn't serious or wasn't talented or wasn't dead. I don't know what it was, and I don't care. But I was told consistently, yeah, this looks like it's going to be a miss, and maybe he needs to decide what he's going to do. That is not the feel anymore. Now, I got told a whole lot of positive things about DeJuan Mathis, and DeJuan Mathis struggled in his start against Arkansas, and DeJuan Mathis struggled last week starting for Temple against Rutgers. But I got told a whole lot of positive things about DeJuan Mathis. I am being told similar things, though, again, by folks who are supposed to know about Carson Beck, that they're really pleased with his development. So maybe he plays Saturday against UAB. Final headline, Bearcats apply for Big 12 membership. Cincinnati has formally applied to join the Big 12. They're going to try to save that thing. It's actually going to be the AAC Plus. It's going to be like, you know, ESPN Plus. It's going to be the AAC plus a few bigger programs is what it's really going to look like, which means that if you took Conference USA from about 10, 12 years ago, then that's going to be about half of the Big 12. Consider yourself up to date. I was going to tell you something about Treylon Burks. One of my favorite receivers. I like Treylon Smith a lot as well, but Treylon Burks is just a monster for the Razorbacks, and he was limited. Didn't know if he was going to play against Rice. He played, caught a few passes, was not a huge contributor, but also not 100% healthy. He is thought to be ready for Texas on Saturday again. So they host, by the way. That's an afternoon game, I believe. They host Texas this Saturday, and again, Treylon Burks, he's the best player on the team. He's a wide receiver. He's 6'3", about 230, and he's got long arms and can run, and just he's all kinds of good things that you want, and he produces, and he should be back and at least closer to 100% on Saturday. So, all right, we're going to take a break, come back, talk with Matt Jones about Kentucky football. That's next.
Hey.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
So another candle on the cupcake, turning 7 years old, and just about a week from now, our seventh birthday. We started the show back at the beginning of the 14 season. Now nine states, 54 sticks, dealing it out 2 hours a day, every single day, talking college football. Appreciate everybody making that possible. Well, that looked fun. Kentucky debuted Saturday at home against an overmatched opponent, but that's Louisiana Monroe's issue. I've never discounted. Now, you have to context some stuff, but I have never discounted a performance because of a poor opponent. You know why? Because there are plenty of teams that don't blow out overmatched opponents. Vanderbilt lost at home to an FCS school. Actually, they didn't lose at home. They got blown out. They didn't compete at home. And they had like 8 months to get ready for East Tennessee State. So I always give credit for a win. I mean, nothing is easy. And as much as a stretched out score as that was, 45-10 was the final Saturday. I'm not being critical. I don't go that route. There could have been at least two more touchdowns, if not more points than that, because Kentucky, they overwhelmed Louisiana Monroe, and there were some fun things that happened, but it wasn't necessarily a clean game. There were the turnovers. There might have been too many penalties, but I don't get in a twist about that. But it was a week one game where they did not play perfect and still won by five touchdowns. I want to welcome on now, good friend of the program, creator, host of Kentucky Sports Radio. Folks, they got 40 affiliates, more than 40, just in that state. It is Matt Jones. Brother, how you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciate you carving out some time. Let's talk Will Levis and the offensive approach, because that was fun.
Yeah, they played great. A couple things to be excited about. Obviously, Will Levis had an amazing game. He was the Peyton Manning quarterback of the week, 375 yards, all that. But they did that and still were able to run the ball. You know, Chris Rodriguez had 125 yards rushing on 6.6 yards a carry, which is his average from last year. So they didn't give up their running game and were able to expand the pass. You know, they had four passes of 50 or more yards. Three passes 50 more yards, which is how many they had in the past two seasons combined. And then on defense, they held Louisiana Monroe under 100 yards, which is the first time in 25 years a Kentucky team has done that to anybody. And, you know, they play bad teams every year. So there's a lot of reasons to be excited. The thing that makes me excited about it is this. You know, Kentucky the last few years, because of their defense and their running game, has been able to compete with pretty much all of the teams outside of the elite in the SEC. I still don't know if they can beat the elite teams in the SEC, but now you can go into those games and think you have a puncher's chance, because you can't beat them unless you score 30. Kentucky's not going to beat any of these teams like Georgia beat Clemson. And so now that there's a world in which you could see Kentucky scoring 30, that makes it at least believable that when they play Florida, Georgia, LSU this year, they can go into that game and say, look, we don't have to play perfect to win. We can play good and still put the points up.
Matt, on the perimeter, like, you know, Josh Ali, he's kind of like an old school college football player to me. You know, freshman, you know, he got his feet wet, barely played a little bit more, you know, third year exploded, senior, and like he's the man. Well, he's back for another senior year, and good for him, a fifth year. But I liked him last year, and I think he's a pretty anonymous SEC player. I love him this year if he's opposite Wandale Robinson. I mean, suddenly Kentucky, a team that hadn't had a lot of fire on the perimeter, I like Ali and Wandale.
Let's be real. They haven't had a real wide receiver weapon besides Lynn Bowden since Randall Cobb. Yeah. I mean, they just haven't. They've not had a weapon in a long time. Wandale's a weapon, and maybe Josh Ali's a weapon. I mean, I think a lot of people sort of thought he was the best of a second-tier group of receivers, but he looked elite on Saturday. Now, we'll see if that continues against defensive backs in the SEC. But they now feel like they got two receivers who are SEC caliber. If they can get one more to step up along with some good tight ends, you got the makings of a passing game. And, you know, we're going to know a lot more after they play Missouri this week, obviously. But you can't help but be excited. I mean, Will Levis had a game that Kentucky hasn't had from a quarterback since Andre Woodson. I mean, that's just a fact. It's not like hyperbole. It's a fact. They haven't had a quarterback look like that and throw like that since Woodson, and that's exciting for a fan base that you got to remember. I mean, everybody thinks of Kentucky now as his defense running team, but we all have history of being the first air raid team.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that this program has not been able to throw a forward pass for a decade has made it very frustrating, and now it feels like they've at least got a chance to head back to where they were.
Talk about the threat level from Mizzou this Saturday. That's a well-coached team. Eli's got the quarterback he wants. And again, they're one of those programs I look at, Matt, and I say whatever their 100% is, that's kind of what you're going to get from Missouri a lot of Saturdays.
Well, if you believe that's true, then they should be worried because they didn't look great last week. You know, the thing is, last year they beat Kentucky up. They controlled the line of scrimmage. They made it to where Kentucky could barely move the ball. They won by 10, but it felt like 30. I think this year Kentucky's got them a little overmatched. You know, last year also Kentucky had come off four difficult games, including beatdowns against Alabama and Florida. And Missouri had 2 weeks off before the game. And last year in the COVID year, that made a difference. I think Kentucky is better. I think they're more talented, but they do. Missouri does have a great quarterback, and when you have a great quarterback, you got a chance to compete. So I expect it to be competitive, but it's going to be a night game. I think it'll be the best atmosphere in Lexington in at least 3 years. So I think you're going to see – I expect a heck of a performance from Kentucky, but obviously we'll have to wait and find out.
You know, Kentucky is one of those programs. Just what it is, it takes about a month into somebody having like a Bednarik sort of season to go, oh, look, it's Josh Allen. I guess he's good. Talk J.J. Weaver. What kind of ball player do you think he can be?
I think he's very good. I mean, he tore his ACL last year, and so I didn't think he was going to play. And then he came out in some limited action, had 2 sacks. You know, the key for that defense is Josh Pascal, Jordan Wright, and DeAndre Square. If those 4 guys play well, or 3 guys, Kentucky will be very good. But then if they can get something from J.J. Weaver, too, that's awesome. Their secondary on the back end is really good. Now, they're not deep. They've had some people not be able to play for various reasons, but they're very good on the first level. But you throw in a J.J. Weaver who Stoops believes can be a difference maker. I didn't expect to get much of anything out of him this year. He had 2 sacks. He only played 12 plays.
Yep.
So I think he's got a chance also to be special.
Yeah, I guess, you know, Adrian Peterson, maybe he's kind of reset our expectations for when you tear your knee up. And I keep trying to tell people, I was like, no, that's not real. That's not normal. But then we keep seeing athletes come back a lot sooner than before. Matt, always appreciate the input, brother. It's always A+. Thank you, man.
Thanks, man.
All right, Matt Jones again, Kentucky Sports Radio. And so that's the kid, and you always look for, all right, who's the next one? You know, I was talking on Monday about Jordan Davis. Well, my gosh, if you watch the Clemson game, and you might have said, oh, that's the kid who's out for Clemson. No, that's Tyler Davis. Well, that's the guy who bounces. No, that might be Jalen Carter you're thinking about. I'm talking about Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis is 6'5", 6'6", maybe, 330 something, 34. I don't know what he is. He's this giant human. And I said, but he's, you already kind of know him. He's a fixture. It's, all right, what else are you going to, you know, Trayvon Walker. All right, maybe that's the kid who, you know, maybe it's N'Kobe Dean, who did not even play a perfect game the other day, but still wound up with 2 huge plays against Clemson. When you can add on to whoever that next guy is, there usually is a bit of sort of cream to kind of harvest off the top, because you're not Jordan Davis, for instance. You're not Jordan Wright. You're not DeAndre Square. And so if we're going to keep a tight end against an edge, or we're going to chip him with a back, well, maybe it's not you. If you remember in the NFL, I go back like 10 years ago, Jared Allen, remember, came up with the Chiefs and then the Vikings and just was a sack machine. Do you know what Jared Allen did about 4 times in his career? He got the other defensive end paid. He got the guy opposite him paid. There's a thought that Aaron Donald got Dante Fowler paid. That's what can happen. If you're looking for that next defender, because they've got some stars over there, not just good for Kentucky or not just guys who rack up a bunch of tackles because they're the 6-yard sheriff. If they can add
another impact. And it's easier to be that third or fourth guy. Well, they've already got three. It's easier to be that fourth guy, that fifth guy, a little further down the food trough. And so that's what Kentucky is looking for. And Missouri, are they as talented as Kentucky? No. Can they win? Of course. It's along the lines of what Matt was saying, that when you have a quarterback that this early in his college career, there are some exchanges. There are some times when you're watching Bazelak and it's on a string, man, where he is in complete control and he couldn't be more accurate if he walked down the field and handed it to the receiver. There are times, and a lot of that, you know what it is? It's when it's in the less structured environments of that offense. It is when he's on a boot or a sprint out, half roll, whatever. When you get him on the move a little bit, it may be the momentum or the just the, you know, the rapid nature of it and just in the moment and letting it sling. Good for him. But he gives you the chance. And Beatty and some of the other weapons they have on the outside that are still trying to establish themselves. It's a dangerous enough opponent. And Kentucky at home, again, with two ways to run it, whether they want to ground and pound or they want to let Will Levis fling it. They're one of the better stories so far, at least for me, the first couple of weeks of the season. Can't wait till Saturday when they play Mizzou.
It's the first weekend of the NFL. It's the second weekend of college football. Hey, everybody, Dan Matthews here, spending a few minutes to give you some of the odds from BetUS. Noon in Tampa on Saturday, Florida at South Florida. Gators 29-point favorite, over-under is at 58.5. In Columbus, Ohio State 14 and a hook favorite over Oregon. Moneyline minus 700 for the Buckeyes, plus 500 for the Ducks. Over under 64. The Pittsburgh Panthers are a 3-point favorite on Rocky Top against Tennessee. Pitt minus 155 money line. Vols plus 135. Over under 56.5. Iowa at Iowa State. Cyclones giving 4.5. State's money line minus 190. The Hawkeyes plus 165. Over under 46. How about the NFL getting started this weekend? Huge game in Kansas City. Chiefs-Browns late Sunday afternoon. Kansas City giving it 6 at home to Cleveland. Money line minus 175 for KC, plus 155 for the Browns. Saints hosting the Packers in Jacksonville. New Orleans getting 4 points for this home game. Green Bay minus 200 on the money line. Saints plus 170, over under 49.5. Want to have a chance to make some money with BetUS? I got a way. A couple of ways, actually. SST125. With this promo code, you get 125% of a sign-up bonus. For example, that first deposit, $100, we're giving you an extra $125. SST200 for those of you who want to deposit with cryptocurrency. That is 200% on a sign-up bonus. For example, that first crypto deposit, $100, you're getting back $200 extra. BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I love, 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 love Nick Saban. There are times he's full of crap. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday, and I say that with tongue-in-cheek and full respect because he's just a football coach, and there are times, like, I grew up in the state of Georgia. I can't tell you how many times I heard Vince Dooley talking about the threat of the opponent's long snapper when he had nothing else to say about whoever, Gardner Webb or whoever they're playing. You would get that. Lou Holtz was famous for it. If we go back in time to the 2014 season, there was a Saturday where Alabama went to Fayetteville, and they beat Arkansas 14-13. And their response after that was, whoa, Alabama's got to play better. Alabama's got to be better. How in the world did Alabama only win 14-13? Do you remember Nick Saban after that? I'll read you a quote. Isn't it enough to be happy for the kids that they played and they won? Isn't it enough that they won the game regardless of the score? All right. That's because that's what would fit Nick Saban at the time. Now, after blowing out Miami, he's worried that the team is feeling too good about itself. What they read on social media or in the media or whatever after one half of a game this season, and then it was hot yesterday, and so he's talking about how the team feels so good about themselves. I don't know what the middle ground is, because I would have looked at him and was like, well, I was just happy they competed and won, Coach. Want to welcome on now a guy who covers Alabama and all SEC, all college football, does a great job of it every single day. You can get him online, BamaOnline.com. It is Travis Ryer. Travis, how are you, brother?
I am great, Chuck. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I have been in press conferences before in Tuscaloosa, and I got to admit, I've thought things like I just said, and I'm like, yeah, I'll address that later. Nick Saban, whenever anyone points out contradictions like this and they're really serious about it, I'm like, he wasn't meaning what he said. He's just picking a different avenue to motivate that team that week. Do you believe that that is an accurate summation about basically anything he says publicly?
Pretty much. And with that Wednesday news conference, he's coming straight from the practice field. So one of the benefits of that in the media is that you're probably going to get an extension or some carryover from what he just told his players maybe 5-10 minutes earlier. So you're getting post-practice Saban at the nth degree, at the highest degree. So, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that. You're right. You pointed out some things with the 2014 Arkansas game. Everybody was beating them up after that one-point win, and he took the opposite approach. It's all about psyche with him. The psychological aspect isn't something that, you know, he takes lightly at all. I think we all understand that at this point. And, you know, I think he understands with this team the maturity level collectively isn't what he had a year ago. That was his favorite team probably of all time last season, not because it went 13-0 and won the national championship, but because it took full and complete ownership of that team. The players did it. And so, you know, you understand with all those guys moving on, you're not going to have that. But, you know, with an FCS opponent coming in, sort of in between Miami and then the road trip to Florida next week.
And it was hot.
This was all pretty – yeah, it was pretty predictable, you know.
Continuing, Travis Ryer again, BamaOnline.com. You mentioned the Florida game coming up. And that's immediately what I saw. I was like, if there – and I think the threat level from Mercer is literally zero. This is not the tournament against Duke 5 years ago. But it is the same principle. We're not going to look ahead. We're not going to overlook anybody. Let's talk about injuries and anything that may change the depth chart because it's Mercer versus if it was somebody. Is there somebody we may not see Saturday because of the opponent?
You know, off the top of my head, I would say maybe Henry Toa Toa, who had the elbow injury in the game last Saturday. He says, and typically if Alabama makes an injured player available to the media, he's probably at least cleared to go. You know, that could be a situation to keep an eye on. Jalen Moody's very capable, played well in Toa Toa's absence in the second half on Saturday, had an interception in the game. So maybe you want to keep an eye on there. Obviously, Christopher Allen out for the remainder of the season, or what looks to be the remainder of the season. So a second-year player in Drew Sanders really going to need to step forward opposite Will Anderson and another second-year player, Chris Braswell. Yeah, he's 6'5", 244. So,
wow.
You know, he's physically more than capable of jumping in there, especially on early downs. Now, pass rush, they could be more situational when they get into those.
Did I see Brian Branch was a little banged up?
Yeah, he was. You saw that throughout the second half. It looked like cramps there initially, but he's another guy to keep an eye on for this week. And he was in there in large part safety because he was actually at star, but Malachi Moore working at safety because DeMarco Ellums, the projected starter, had the sprained ankle in the preseason and wasn't able to start. So, you know, that's something else to keep an eye on in the back end of that defense alongside Jordan Battle is that safety spot.
All right. Now, I want to ask you about one kid that is just suddenly on my radar. But you think, what are you going to learn in a game of 1x4 touchdowns? You learn a lot about individuals. Talk about Jalen Armour Davis, because I'm getting more and more intrigued about what may be ahead for that kid in his final couple go-rounds there in Tuscaloosa. That's a good-looking ball player.
He really is. He checks all the boxes physically, 6'1". 190, 195 at the corner position. That's the critical factors that you hear Saban talk about a lot when recruiting players at that position. And really had some adversity early in his career. Tore his ACL in pregame warmups 3 or 4 years ago. And so that sidelined him, set him back for about a year or so. And, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, restrictor plate racing, I guess you could say. You know, you get caught up in the draft at a position like that at Alabama, it looks good, and then the next thing you know, you're running eighth or ninth, you know, at that spot. So he got reshuffled, I guess you could say, because of the injury, but to his credit, he's battled back. And, you know, since spring practice, there was so much expectation for Kool-Aid McKinstry, maybe Marcus Banks, some of these other corners. And Jalen Armour Davis has taken that job opposite Josh Jobe by the neck, by the throat, and he is not willing to let it go as of yet. You're right. About Saturday, he may have been their best defensive back in the game.
Yeah, I mentioned one play that, you know, because I'm like everybody. I got my little yellow legal pad, black ink pen, and I'm making my notes. And there was one play where he's on the outside receiver on a trip side. It was near side. And you know what it is. The two inside guys out, and then he comes off their butts across the middle, and it's just free yardage. Jalen Armour Davis worked his way through five other players and made the tackle on like a 3rd and 8, tackled him after like six yards. And I was like, okay, the knee works. I mean, like he's back. He's ready to roll.
Exactly. A very big play early in the game. And you're right, the sort of isolation that teams love to get on, especially a new corner, a new starter. And he answered the bell with that. He had a nice pass breakup in the game as well. And, you know, he and Toa Toa were in on that deflection that Malachi Moore ended up pulling in for an interception, too.
I want to ask you about one more kid as well, Anderson. I mean, my gosh. that's not fair. And, I mean, you know, the other kid's on scholarship, too, but, boy, he's quick.
He really is. And when you see him in person this year, he has made some noticeable strides in the weight room. Not that he was scrawny by any means as a true freshman last year, but it sort of just shows you, and the fact that he had 9 tackles in the game, you just don't see outside linebackers with 9 tackles. So the motor is also there. He is as hard a worker as they have. So when you combine his immense skill set and talent with that, this is what you get. And I know Kayvon Thibodeau has been the talk of the preseason when it comes to defensive players, maybe in all of college football, but you know, Will Anderson, knock on wood, can stay healthy. I don't know if there's another defensive player in college football I'd rather have than number 31.
Bobby Hebert, if I can go way back for a moment, he told me a story one time about when they were playing the Giants. He says, this is an NFL game. He's like, and our left tackle comes back to the huddle crying. He's like, I can't stop him. He was like, how do you think that makes a quarterback feel when the left tackle's crying? And I was thinking about that story a little bit the other day. Wrapping up with Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com. Let's talk running backs, because I was impressed. And also, for the first time, I was impressed by Trey Sanders. That's a tough-looking kid.
give him all the credit in the world, too. Two season-ending injuries each of the last two seasons, and you start to wonder about a guy's psyche, and does he really want to try to come back? And, you know, a talented guy, obviously, based on his status among the running back prospects for the 2019 class. But, yeah, it was a great story in and of itself to see him out there on Saturday. But I think he made a statement that, you know, if this team is still in the market for more of a feature back in the next couple of weeks, it'll be tough to get Brian Robinson out of that mix entirely because there's a lot of trust in the veteran. But Trey Sanders showed you he had four runs of 8 yards or more and the 20-yard touchdown run where he made an excellent cut on a washout by the right side of the Alabama offensive line.
Travis, last guy I want to ask you about, and I'm going to ask you about Jace McClellan, and you can talk about him specifically, but also just the general situation, because that's a kid that going into last Saturday, I was told, dude, the coaches, they can't get enough of him. McClellan, he's the next one. They're going to target him, you know, two-way running back, whatever. He had, literally, 1.5 tough plays in pass protection, but at Alabama, that is enough for you to slide down the depth chart. Talk Jace McClellan or just that general situation. Like you were talking about with Jalen Armour Davis, he blinked and he was eighth.
Yeah, that's all it takes. And you're right, off the ball stuff can keep you off the field very quickly at the running back position at Alabama because it's a non-negotiable in pass protection. You have to, A, be able to recognize where things are coming from and then respond accordingly. And then also the willingness physically to stick your face in the fan. And, you know, I think that's a work in progress maybe for McClellan. He did have one nice pickup on a deep out cut from Bryce to Slade Bolden in the game, but there wasn't the consistency, I didn't think, from the running back position in general. And it's one of the undervalued things that you talk about needing to replace with Najee Harris moving on. As good as Najee was on the ball, he developed, and he too early in his career. That wasn't an area where he was especially good. But over time, Najee became very good in that area.
Yeah, I remember Media Days 18 in Atlanta, Nick Saban talking about Derrick Henry. He's like, I'm at practice. This kid's a freshman. I am wearing him out. And he looked at me finally. He's like, Coach, I've never had to block before. Like, literally, he's like, there's not one play they ever asked me. They would just hand me the football on Friday nights. He's like, I've never caught the ball. I've never blocked anybody. He's like, it kind of resets that when you get a five-star running back, that probably ain't how he got his scholarship, is by blocking.
No, Yulee High School back with Derrick Henry, they didn't even hand it. They just direct snapped it to Derrick. And he was wildcat about, I think, 90% of the time. But, no, the point is very valid in that, yes, pass protection, even catching the football. Derrick didn't do that, you know, at Yulee High School. So, you know, just all those different aspects of running back play are different for a lot of guys.
Travis, always great to talk to you, brother. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, BamaOnline.com. That is the home for Travis Ryer, has been for almost two decades. Always appreciate his time. Man, those are good. I didn't even mention Roydell Williams. Roydell, who I think is from Hueytown, I think. If I got that wrong, apologies to Roydell's mom and daddy. But he might be there. I think he was the third running back going into Saturday. I think that last Saturday, my opinion, after all of one game that you won by four touchdowns, Jace McClellan is probably going to work his way back up the depth chart from four. He was probably two. Now I think he'll be working from four. Whereas Sanders moved from four up to two. If I've got I think it was Robinson, McClellan, Roydell, Trey Sanders. And as I said, Sanders, good for him. I like every kid to finally get his shot, get his chance. And it looks like Trey Sanders, I'm tired of waiting around. I'm going to do something out here. So he got his run, and they'll build all, and they'll all build off of it. Whoever didn't even get any carries at running back. Like, who's the next? Kamara Wheaton, the freshman. He can play four games, right? Yeah. Kamara Wheaton. He will get carries against Mercer on Saturday, and I believe that will be one of his four games. Well, why would you waste him? Maybe you'll need him late in the year. Why week two? Because what you want to do is get Robinson and McClellan and whoever you really do care about, get them off the field. Now, again, this may be an exception game because of the overmatched nature of this. In almost every case, and this is a sports rule, okay? In almost every case, and I mentioned this before, when you talk about emptying the benches, It's going to be, for most coaches and most Saturdays, regardless of what's going to be, 50-0 at halftime. It's going to be my starters play the first half and then one possession into the third quarter. Why? Because you want a regular halftime. It doesn't matter if you have 11 team captains starting on offense. If they come out with 4 minutes left before halftime, they're going to be screwing around in the locker room. They're not going to be listening. They're going to be getting their teammates' attention off of the coach and whatever else is being said. So that's why you always want to have a real halftime. And then after a possession, empty the benches then. That's what got Shula. I think it was Shula when he was still a coach there. Brody Croyle, I'm trying to remember the opponent. Was it Utah State? Brody comes out in a blowout, and he's going to play one possession. And I think that was the possession where he hurt his knee. So it doesn't always work out the way you want to, but that's kind of how you're going to structure it because, again, you want the entire day to seem normal. And it really does kind of add something to the backups who get in the game because they weren't getting disrespected at halftime by seniors who's not meaning anything. But you can't help it. It's human nature. When you're 22 and you know you're not going back in, you'll take your shoulder pads off. And that really sends a message that, yeah, we don't have to take these guys seriously. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll wrap up on a Thursday from Harris Cherokee in Cherokee, North Carolina, live from the all-new book, next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I don't know if it's a tough transition, but it is certainly a transition in how everything goes, you know, and I think Emery, you know, as he looks at it, and he's been around a while, and he's a mature guy and understands things. You know, I thought overall, I mean, you look, he played pretty well on last Saturday, but you know, just made some errors that he's not used to making.
Dan Mullen giving a version that I agree with just about everything he said, but he took a long time to get there, and I know why that is. Dan Mullen talking about Emory Jones and the fact he's on the SEC coaches teleconference. Talking about Emory Jones and still kind of getting used to, no, I'm the quarterback now. I'm the starting quarterback, and there are questions whenever a backup even plays, there will be questions. If the backup plays well, there will be more questions. Here's the thing. Anthony Richardson, the backup, he didn't play that well. He had some unbelievable individual plays. And when I watch him running around out there, I want him on the field somewhere. Quarterback, sure. Slot, receiver, tailback, tight end, motion guy. Hey, I don't care. There's something I can do with Anthony Richardson. And I mentioned this yesterday as I was discovering this actually on the air. I'd mentioned this yesterday, and Anthony Richardson, I did a little more drilling down. like that kid now more than I did yesterday or 3 days ago or 4 days ago I was watching him play. He is not interested in your politically correct world, all right? Anthony Richardson is interested in getting paid. Now, he is a sort of intriguing-looking freshman quarterback at Florida, but he's going to be a player doing something. It may include playing quarterback, but he's going to do something. And his name is Anthony Richardson. And he wears Tebow's jersey, 15. Anthony Richardson. He wears Tebow's same number. And he has come up with his own clothing line, AR-15. Now, for this week's game, for the Tilt versus USF, AR-15 has released a game week shirt. And he's doing this every week for an opponent-specific game week shirt from AR15apparel.com. This week's game shirt versus South Florida has AR-15 leaping over a green bull with a rifle scope trained on the bull's forehead. Way back, and I mentioned this yesterday, 1980, year George Rogers won the Heisman for the Gamecocks, he wore jersey number 38, and there was, and I called someone this morning in Columbia to ask about this. There were bumper stickers, and the slogan for the Heisman was Carolina plays with a loaded 38. And they even put the little dot in front of the three. I was like a fifth grader. I thought it was cool. I don't believe a school would put that Heisman promotion out today. I don't believe. Now, this isn't the school. It's the kid. But I'm kind of surprised no one talked him out of it. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not offended in the least. I'm an adult, and I know that this is a $3 piece of cotton, and it will not lead me to do anything I wouldn't normally do. It's not going to desensitize me to the global plight of green bulls everywhere. But it sure don't look like 2021 very much. Credit to AR-15. I'm a big fan of that kid. Oh, and the shirts are sold out this week, by the way. The shirts are sold out, and one of the options online, pickup options available. You can go by AR's apartment and pick up your shirt. But they're sold out for the week, so good for him. The kid's getting paid. What up, Dan?
Yeah, wow. I mean, I guess NIL takes on totally new different angles, so good for him.
Dude's print shirts. Good for him.
Yeah, hey, you know what? Make your money while you can. You know, I think that the other part of this as well is what Dan Mullen talking about right there. 20 of 35, 153 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. That ain't going to cut it. And I know that some people out there are saying, Dan, look what's next week. It's Alabama. Trust me, Nick Saban doesn't need to see anything else out of Dan Mullen to know how to prepare for a Dan Mullen coach football team. He's seen it for years. You're not going to surprise him. He's seen everything that there is. But one thing I don't know about is how this team can throw the football. This weekend, you got to prove to me you can throw the football. At least show me that the downfield option is there. Because if you don't, you don't have that threat of balance against Bama the following week, it's going to get ugly on the swamp.
I agree with that. And there's a chance that you can, you know, everything Dan said there, we can develop the run, we can develop the pass, we can play better on defense, special teams, and you still lose by 14. That's how good Bama appears to be again. All right, wraps it up on a Thursday. I'm Harris Cherokee. Be back tomorrow. Harris Valley River in Murphy.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.